Alright, we're on the bottom of knowing how much bad, but it's that. Tanan. Hayu pchutim asarat fachim, venafal tocho shor or chamor meit patur. So what's the intent fachim deep, and an animal falls in there, you're patur. Vihum huzakbo, but if it gets damaged in such a bore, chayav. Then you're chayav. Nafal tocho shor chamor meit patur. So that we see that if it falls in there, you're patur meit haima. Lab mishum galeit beit chavata. Must be because there's not enough impact. It sounds like the differential between being 10 fucking deep and not 10 fucking deep is whether you have enough impact to kill the animal or not. So that would suggest, right, not like the position of Rav, who thinks that it's all about the hevel. Lo, mishum delayt behavlo. There's not enough hevel. When it's not deep, there's not enough hevel in there to cause the death of the animal. Yehachi im guzak bo chayav. Wait, it says that if it gets damaged, it gets, then it is, you are chayav for damages. Right, it doesn't have enough hevel in there. So if it doesn't have enough hevel, how come it's doing damage? So it says, imri, in. Right, havlo, ain't havlo the mito. But yeish havlo the nizokin. Right, ain't ochanami. Just like you have different amounts of impact, depending on the depth of the bore. So the deeper bore will kill the bore that is of a lesser depth, will only cause damage. Same thing with hevel. A deeper bore will have the intensity of hevel that will cause death, whereas a bore that is of has less depth through it will also have hevel, but only enough to do damage, not to kill. So now, how Torah? The nafal the arita did lie. So there was a shore that fell into what seems to be a yor, like some sort of a watering channel, right? That used to bring water to the fields. And it's usually about, it's the equivalent of what we used to call, you know, amat mayim, an amma that brings the channels that bring water to the fields. So the shore fell into it. Then the owner, shakte mare, the owner shechted the animal, pulled it out and shechted it. Tarfei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said it was a trefel. So Amar Rav Nachman, ishakel mare, the high Torah, kav of the kimchum. The owner of this shore had just taken a kav of kemach, you know, a certain amount of flour. Well, I was in the Bay Medrash and spent some time in the Bay Medrash, and he'd taken his lunch box and gone to the Bay Medrash for a little time. We know by trefos that if the animal is able to survive for 24 hours, then it's not classified as a trefa. Had he just waited the 24 hours, then we could have said it was a ksheira. Instead, he shechted it on the spot, and now, the Torah, the Shavakama Kabin. He wouldn't have lost out on a shore that's worth many kav of kemah. I mean, that if he, you know, was a, right, it would have been penny wise and pound foolish. So over here, had he just made that investment of the small amount of kemah, he would be with a shore now worth many kavim of kemah. Now again, as a reminder, Mark Hulin says, right, if the test for whether an animal is trefo is whether it's made late, if it lasts 24 hours, that's one of the tests. We also say im amdo, right, if it stands up, right, that also doesn't need 24 hours. If it's able to stand up and walk, then it doesn't, but it still needs a bdikah. You still have to check it. Halka, if it walks, right, not just stands up, but it walks afterwards, right, then you don't even need a checking. The only question is, when it's shot from 8 to 8, when it waits for 24 hours, do you need to check it or not? Right, and then we don't know. Like, this is the, sounds from the psakalach, the balakalach, the good that you do have to do a bdikah. And since we're not bekim in bedika, we don't know how to do bedika, therefore we need 12 months. I mean, in order to prove that it's not a treifa, it has to last more than 12 months because that's the rule. What's a treifa? A treifa is an animal that cannot live for the following year, for the following 12 months. Right, so this, he should have just proven that it wasn't a treifa. Had it proven not a treifa, you've been fine. But the fact is he shechted it on the spot, and now we can't do anything. Now, Rimar says, Alma kasavar of Nachman, yesh chavata papachot miyatara. So you see from this that Rav Nachman believes that there is a cause of chavat that could kill an animal, right, that is less than 10 tfachim. Because here we have a shore that's falling into this, right, fly into this ama, which isn't 10 tfachim, 10 tfachim deep, and yet, right, he's saying that it's a trefa, that it's gonna die, that it's gonna kill the animal. So, eight way, Rav, the Rav Nachman, you chutim asrat tfachim, and chal the tocho shor chomor meit patur. Right, my time. What's the reason that you're patur? La mishum delay bechavata. Isn't it because there's not enough of an impact in 10 tfachim? No, Gemara says lo mishum delay behavlo. Right, it doesn't have enough hevel in it. Ayi hachi huzak bo chayav. Right, so what are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah that says that if it gets damaged there, you are chayav? Halet behavol, you don't have, again, enough hevel in there. So I'm like, in hevel amita, ain hevel amita, I'm sorry, v'yesh hevel nizakin. There is no hevel for death, but there is enough hevel for nizakin. That doesn't point out that the questioner over here, right, I mean, that we had the same sort of division just before, that the questioner over here can understand that there's a differential between chavata for nisa and chavata for nizakin, because it has to do with depth. Right? You get to a certain depth, then you can differentiate between impact. You know, impact could cause damage, impact could cause death. Then about hevel, it's hard to differentiate. I mean, hevel seems to be, right, something that affects the animal from the air quality, and the air quality should just, air quality can cause nezek, and the ultimate nezek is killing it. But to say that the air quality changes from the lower air quality, which only kills, and the higher air quality, which says nizakin, he wasn't so attuned to. He didn't see that differentiation. And as we're answering, the Gemara's answering each time, no. There is such a concept. You have air quality that does damage, you have air quality that kills. Now, if that's the case, right, that it's all about the hevel, then we have no proof from the Mishnah that only a chavata ten tefachim kills. Because you think the reason the Mishnah says you're chayav for death after 10 tefachim, and less than tefachim you're chayav for nezek, is because, not because of the impact, but because of the air quality. If that's the case, then we don't know anything from a Mishnah about impact. And
why would Nachman do that?
Alright, so that's the question. What is Rav Nachman doing? Why is Rav Nachman holding on to this? Now, the Gemara's going to continue to investigate here. Why is Rav Nachman holding? Yes, at this point, Rav and Shmuel both can agree, because they both agree that Hevel is a din in Bor. But the question is, right, the question is, why does Rav Nachman think, like what you're questioning, is why does Rav Nachman think that unless it's 10 to Fachim, you can have an impact that kills? And that's what we have to understand here. Now, the Gemara says Eitzavei. The Gemara's going to bring lots of questions on this. Now, the assumption is that Rav Nachman believes less than 10 to Fachim, you could kill with an impact. So if that's the case, Gemara's going to ask from other places. Eitzavei, Beit Hatzfila, Yag Vashte Komot. The Beit Hatzfila was two, human lengths high. Vatani Allah, Koma Shalom. And entire than his height. So you have the individuals being thrown off the building or the roof in order to get nitzgal, right? So we have his two heights worth of him plus his own height. That gives you three heights worth of him going up. So if that's the case, right? Arikan shalosh v'itzagadat v'yesh chavata papa miyud. Right? If you think there's enough chavata to kill a person less than 10 tefachim, lamali kuli high. Why are you getting him up so high? I mean, if you could kill a person, or is it enough to kill with the Yud Fakhim, why are we taking the person up so high to throw him up? Just get him up to Yud Fakhim and we'll be fine. Gemara says, wait a minute. Litamech Navid Asara. Right? According to you, right, what's the, if you're going to suggest, Yesh Chavat Abach Miyud, Lam Likuli High, you could have put it less than 10. It says, even according to your reason, Navid Asara, just do 10 Fakhim. Right? Even if you believe that Chavata works in, and you disagree with Rav Nachman, you say that there is Chavata 10 Tefachim, why is the Beit HaTfila so high up? It's more than 10 Tefachim. Three people's worth up is much more than 10 Tefachim. So I said, look, Rav Nachman. That's like Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, Rav Ravua, Makra, Ahafta, the Reacha Kamofa, Barolo Mita Yofa. Right? You have to pick a nice Mita. You're going to put someone to death. You want to do it in the most, right, elegant, and easy manner, so it causes him the least amount of pain. So then, if you put it up higher, he'll die much faster. It'll be a less painful death for him. Right there, the hockey knocks what's right. Right? Why not get it all the way up? Go 5-10 stories. That'll make it even faster. Right there, Meshum in the Nabil, that we're worried about him breaking apart. I mean, if we take him too high, then he'll break into pieces, and that'll be a manuval. So we're trying to come strike a balance between a Misa Yofet, which is the most expedient way to kill him, but on the other hand, not be menavel his body. Now, my challenge is we're not going to get eight of it. Kipola, no film me menu. So here we're talking about a makah, which you have to put a fence that you have to put around your roof, that you're required to place a fence around your roof so that nobody falls off your roof. So the dash is me menu, below bitocho or mitocho. Right? That you have to place a makah around your roof so nobody falls from your roof, but you don't have to place a fence so that nobody falls into your roof. The case, what's the case? If he has a Yerushut Rabbim surrounding his house that is more than 10 Tefachim high, and someone falls from the Yerushut Rabbim into his, right, onto his roof, there he is, patur. And that's not where the requirement of Makkah, the requirement of Makkah is when you, your roof, right, not to bound the Yerushut Rabbim so people don't fall into your house. Right? Amuka mimenu atzeret tefachim. If there should have been this 10 tefachim lower than the house, right? Then, and afal mitochol etocha, and you fall from the roof onto the Rishut Rabim, chayav. Now again, chayav and patur here is that you're chayav to put a makah, and you're patur from putting up a makah. If you think, according to Rav Nachman, that you have the ability to impact less than 10 tefachim, still kill, why do I need a house that's 10 tefachim high to require a makah? Even at 5 tefachim, we should require a makah, because someone could die coming off your roof. So I'm like, shiny bayit. No, here you're talking about a house. To call the pochot yasara, la bayiti. This is a definition. What's the definition of a house? The definition of a house has got to be 10 tefachim high. Nothing to do with chabata. Without 10 tefachim, you don't have a house here. If you don't have a house, you can't put up a makah. Hashanami davi mevrai. It says, whoa. Right. Over here, we're talking about asara. The asara tefachim are only from outside the house. That's the case, dominate tikro maziba. You take away the roof and the plastering that goes on it, it's going to be less than 10 tefachim inside. If less than 10 tefachim inside, you still have a bayit. Right? So mikavai lo avi asara. Inside, you don't have 10 tefachim. Here, the Bryce is requiring 10 tefachim on the outside, which does not equate to 10 tefachim on the inside. And the definition of 10 tefachim has to do with airspace inside of a house. So I'm like, you're going to dachak migavai, that they dug down into the ground a little bit to get 10 tefachim inside. Once you have that, then it doesn't matter how high that is. The ochi, kalavi nami mevrai asara mishkakaba. Right? Dava migavai asara. If that's the case, you can find on the outside, that you could have a 5 tefachim high house, and then dig in 5 tefachim, and you'll still get a 10 tefachim house on the inside, and have 5 tefachim on the outside. According to Rav Nachman, that should be a choir market. So if you're going, so the Gemara says, you're going to Rav Nachman's Patrei, if you dug deeper. The Gemara says, oh, I'm time with Rav Nachman. This is the reasoning of Rav Nachman. It shows the Jew what's going on with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman survived. Mikrisa de Torah la'ara kamahapi. From the belly, the underbelly of the shore until the ground, of the arbat tefachim. That is for tefachim. And then we said, Arita de Delai, Kamihava. We said, Arita de Delai was how deep? It was then Amadi. And Ama is 6 tefachim. Shita is 6. So if I take the 4 tefachim from the underbelly to the ground, plus the 6 tefachim of the Delai, I end up with 10 tefachim. Hayasara. Right? Now we have 10 tefachim. Ishtakakakicha mechabes, miasarahu de kamechabes. That's when he falls, right? Then he falls 10 tefachim. If he falls 10 tefachim, that's enough to kill him. And that's why Rav Nachman said he didn't wait and he ain't late. Had he waited and late, we would have known if the impact really killed him or went him into a trace right now. The fact that he shifted it right away, we don't know now if this 10 tefachim impact did anything to this shore.
Or if it landed on his feet.
I'm sorry?
Or if it landed on his feet.
Right, that's the assumption is it fell to its side, it fell over. And we're going to see in a second why. Elamas Nitzan. Diktani, my board, today l'hami yud tefachim. So wait a minute. Basically what Shaul is asking, which is, how do you know, right, that a boar is 10 tefachim deep is what kills. Why do you need 10 tefachim in any boar? I mean, any boar also, when a shore is walking along the side of the road and falls into the boar, why do you need to be 10 tefachim deep? It could always just be 6 tefachim deep. Why do I need all the way down to 10 tefachim? So, apo yesh bo kedei la'amit yud tefachim. Right, why not just, why do you have to make it all yud tefachim? B'shita na'amit agyo. It's enough with 6. Because any standing object that falls in also, right, has the additional falling or airspace of what their height is before they get in. So Imri Matisan Dingandor the boar. So our mission is then the case where he rolled into the boar. I mean if they were on, he already had fallen into Rishut Rabim, and then he toppled over the edge into the boar. So the entire impact of the fall has to be the boar. And not that he fell from a standing position outside the boar. And I would say the same thing over here, but Rav Nachman's case you have to assume that he did not land on his feet, that he fell over, right, and landed on his back, or he landed on his side somehow. That's what gave you the full 10 tefachim over here. Alright. New Mishnah. Boar shall shnei shutvin. If a boar that's owned by partners. Avar lava rishon velo kizol. The first one passes by and doesn't cover it. Vasheni velo kizol. And the second one passes by and doesn't cover it. Vasheni chayav. The second one is chayav. I have to understand why in a minute. Why is that the case? So Imri. How do you ever find a boar that belongs to two people? How do you have two double ownership of a boar? So that makes sense according to Rabbi Akiva. Damar boar b'shuto chayav. Rabbi Akiva believes that a boar b'shuto yachid, where mafia the property around it, can be a boar that you're chayav for. So that instance, mishkach la b'chatzah shel shneihem, u boar shel shneihem. the case where they did joint ownership of the chaser, joint ownership of the boor, the ifkiru shutan, and then they're mafkir the chaser around it. So now you have joint ownership of a boor. So ifkiru boran, and they weren't mafkir the boor.
Or weren't you allowed according to both of them?
Rabbi Yosef, according to Rabbi Yosef, it would be according to both of them, right? But here, it seems to me the Gemara is going like Rabbi's position, right? Ella, it's virulan bor bishuto patur. If you believe bor bishuto is patur, which is Rabbi Shmuel's position, how do you find a case where you're chayav in reshuta rabim? Right? Reshuta rabim, bor shoshnesh vatim, right? Right, I'm sorry, that if Mishkakala is Chayim Delev, Rishut Darabim, it's only Rishut Darabim, then for Shoshnesh Vadim, Mishkakala, how do you ever have a case of joint ownership of Rishut Darabim? So now, what's the, well, how would you grab a case where you have double ownership of a boar and Rishut Darabim? Ida, Shavu Shliach, Tarvayu, whatever, they both made a Shliach to go dig the boar. Vimri Lei, Zil Karilan, right, so you go and dig a boar for both of us. On both our behalf, you dig a boar and Rishut Darabim. Bazo the Garlo, he goes in and the Shliach digs it. Ain shliach l'dvar aveira. There is no such concept of a shliach l'dvar aveira. And over here, if you're shliach l'dvar aveira, then we do not, right? The agent and the sender, we do not attribute the action of the agent to the sender. Therefore, who becomes the digger of the boar and responsible of the boar? That is the agent himself, the shliach himself. So that can't, it doesn't attribute it back to the shutfin. So you have ain shliach l'dvar aveira. Now, this is an interesting point. I'm just, I'm not going to get into depth of a long doc to get through, but what aveira is being done right here? Digging a boar b'shuta rabim, right? What aveira have you violated? Right? That might be, meaning that, in general, if you believe that nizakin, when it comes to damage, right, that there is no... Alright, so if you believe that there is no isur nezek, just a obligation to compensate when you do nezek, right, there are those who shown in belief, like that, there is no Easter Nezek. There's no Easter for Nezek. Only requirement is that if you do damage, you must compensate. You must repair the damage that you've done. Other Rishonim believe, right? Other Rishonim believe that there is an Easter of Nezek. When you have an Easter of Nezek, what is the Easter? One of those one of the opportunities is what?
Also for the roof.
But there is not that Easter is only that's a specific mitzvah of Ma'akeh.
But it shows that this is.
Okay, so Tav is indicating one of the sukkim that the Rishonim use is Lotus Mim, Damim Bibetacha, is one of the areas that people believe that you can't, if
you
can't ensure.
Right,
that your Lotus Mim Bibetacha means that you are required to ensure that people don't get hurt by your property, and maybe that's the Eastern Ezek, others they have Abdul Rechav Kamocha, others that come up with an Eastern Ezek. But without an Eastern Ezek, what type of Shliach Dvar Veira do you have here? Right, you only have a shliach d'var aveira, so there's actually an isur that you're violating by digging the boar. If digging the boar simply obligates a person, right, in compensation, that means that there was no isur valid. You could have attribution from the agent to the shliach. It seems to be here that there's at least some sort of isur nezek that, exists. You could argue, on the other hand, here, that it's an unusual case, because you're digging the boar, you're shooting the rabim. Right, so that's
right.
Okay.
If he was doing it, the baiting wouldn't be able to force it to.
Right.
Okay.
Excellent. So I think that's what you. I would possibly suggest that you could argue against it. That this example may not be the best example because you're dealing with four b'shut rabim, where he's digging without permission, and when he's digging without permission already, that's a violation of public policy. It's gezla rabim, like we say, like all of you are suggesting, which would also be maybe the Easter, not an Easter Nezek, but an Easter of concealing from the Rabbim or causing problems for the Rabbim, which might be independent of an Easter Nezek. So it's true, although it seems at least here to be that there is some sort of Isur that is violated by digging a boar here in the Shizur Rabbim.
The other possibility is that by Shliach V'Dvar Aveira, that doesn't actually have to be an Aveira for it to be a Shliach V'Dvar Aveira. And we see other examples of that. That doesn't necessarily, when we say Shliach V'Dvar Aveira, it doesn't have to be directed towards an Easter HaTorah, because we see, for instance, in cases that we had earlier in the Masechta, where it was, and the Gemara in Kedushin, where you have a Shliach Bi'iro, when you put a fire and you give it over to a Chereshot V'Katan. Again, at that instant, what Vaveira are you performing, or what are you doing when you hand it over to the Chereshot V'Katan, and yet the Gemara still terms that as Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So you could argue, again, the other possibility of arguing here is that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira has a broader context, or it covers, encompasses a broader context than just Isurei HaTorah. And if that's the case, again, you wouldn't have proof from here that there is necessarily an Isur Nezek.
Alright. Now, V'Yidah Torah Hai Chamisha, V'Hai Chamisha. So how are you going to create the shutzvot? You still haven't created the shutzvot of a board b'shut rabin. So what do you say? The first guy takes five, and the second guy takes five. And the second one's the one who's responsible because he dug the bore beyond the first one. Anicha the Rabbi ulin nizakin mishkachasa. But that was well going to Rabbi for nizakin. Elo the Rabbi ulamito the Rabbanim ben lamito ben nizakin hecha mishkachala. Right? Where is? How can we find a case like this? So what says? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kum she'akru shnehem chuya b'vat achad. They both took out the last rock, six stones together. They got it to 10 tefachim. So my Rabbi, my Rabbanan. That's why I didn't explain it. I'm sorry. They explain who Rabbi and Rabbanan is. The Gemara is about to explain. What are Rabbi and Rabbanan? It's Tanya. We had this bracer earlier in the Masechta. Echad al fair bor tish'a. Uba fair v'shlimo le'atzara. A person digs a bor that's 9 tefachim deep. And then the second person comes and digs the last 10 tefach. Acharon chayav. The Chachamim believe the last guy is chayav for everything. That means both Misa and Nizakin. So that's what the case is for. We said according to the Rabbanon, we can't come up with the case of Shnei Shutzvin. As soon as the second guy comes and digs, he becomes responsible for everything. So you have to have a case where they jointly get the last tefachat. Rabbi Omer, Achar Acharon Lemita. When the last one makes his 10 tefachim deep, he's now responsible for Mitzah because he's the one who made his 10 tefachim deep. Ooh, Achar Shneem Nizakin. When it comes to Nezek, they both. Here, the first guy already created a board that can be Mazik. The second one just expanded it to Misa also. So he'll be solely responsible for Misa, but they'll be jointly responsible for the Nezek. So we said, we could have answered up according to Rabbi that Yevshnei Shutzvin in a case where they dug a bor of 9 or 5 even, the other guy digs 5 down. So then they're both Chayav for Nezek. So you have Shutzvin for Nezek. But according to Rabbanan, you can never come up with the Shutzvin because the Acharon is always Chayav. So what was the case? The case of the opposite, when they jointly make the 10th Tefach, they become jointly responsible both for the Misa, right, and for the Nezakin in that case. So my time is the Rabbanon. What's the position of the Rabbanon? Dami Kra. Ki Yiftach V'chi Yichret. Imal Tzikha Chayav Al Kriya Lo Kol Shekein. Right? If opening a board is enough, why do you have to dig a board to be Chayav? El Havi Korah Kar Korah Shesudach Maaseh Rishon. So that comes to, it make a case of Korah Kar Korah after someone who dug after the other person. That's Tzilek Maaseh Rishon. The first guy is off the hook now, only the second guy is Chayav. Again, this is the belief that you can be Omshin Min Adin. And if all you needed was Chanat Kriya, since now we have Kriya, what's the extraneous word Kriya teach you? That only the one who digs the final depth is the one who's going to be Chayav. Rabbi Amalekah Hanu Mitzvah Tzrichay. We had all these Limunim, Kidamrina. We had all these Limunim yesterday about Kriya and Tzicha. We needed for all those limudim that we did yesterday. Rabbanon, and I mean Mitzvah Tzrichay. Wait a minute, Rabbanon also needed for all those limudim that we did yesterday, right? Either, right, that to teach you that you need it sufficient to cover a Kriya, not you don't need to fill in the bore, right? Or the Pasukot yesterday also, we had the point of, or 2 days ago, I'm sorry, that the Kriya Tzicha, right, teaches us that al iskei tzicha, iskei kriya yerchayav, even from poor b'shut rabbi. I am time the rabbanon. I'm a krak yichre ish bor echad v'lo shnayim. It says when one person digs a bor, not when two people dig a bor. Therefore, only one person will be culpable for the bor. Rabbi, I will be violating yichre ish bor v'lo shor bor. We have a limo that it's only when a human being digs a bor that you are chayav, but not when your animal goes ahead and digs the bor. You're not responsible in that case. Rabbanon shrei ish bor tive. The pasuk we have twice has the word ish bor in the pasuk, and so therefore we can learn two limudim: one ish bor below shor bor, and the other one ish bor below shnei anashim. So Rabbi, I did the tov high style high. Right? The really only one ish bor was necessary was coming from limud. The second one was just to keep a parallel structure right in the pasukim. So Gemara says, oh, great. According to the Rabbana, it says ki yichre ish bor. So what do I know from ki yichre ish bor? I know Urchi Yiftach Ishbor, Urchi Yichre Ishbor. What do I know from that? I know, one, that it's Ishbor, below Shorbor. And I know also that it's one Ish and not two Ish. Anashim, right? Not one Ish, not two Anashim. Now explain to me, how do you know which one? How come the Chachamim are sure it's the second one that's Chayav? Maybe Ishbor means the first one's Chayav and not the second one. How do you know which one to be Mechayev over here?
It's not logical. First guy's on a board
that's not really
has the status of a board
that
should be, right?
Right.
Is he
going to
be considered a board for which he
should be, right? So the second one be Chayav for Misa, and the first one be Chayav for
Nizakin. That's what Rabbi
says. No, Rabbi says they're joined.
They're joined for Nizakin.
Just the first one, because the Chachamim say only Ish. Ish means only one person would be culpable at a time. So here you have to say someone has to be coupled. How do you know who is someone to be coupled?
For sure, because for sure the extra amma did additional damage.
Right. Oh, the extra seven. All right. So look, so Gemara says Zagadatka. Wouldn't you think this is Amar Krava made the yellow? It says the mate ELO. How old the Ka'avid Misa? Who is the one, the mate ELO goes to the one who caused the death. And who caused the death? This is like what you're suggesting, the one who dug it deeper to make it into Misa. So the one who creates the Bor Misa becomes culpable for the whole Bor.
Right.
So that's what the Gemara is saying, that is, by mate ELO indicates that the mate ELO tells you who's culpable in all the Misa out of those two. The second one is more of a reason to be culpable here. Don't we need that Meiti Elo for Rava? Dama Rava. Shor of Slam Gashim Shnapa Labor Fator? Right? The Shor of Slam Gashim that falls into a Bor Fator. Shnapa Rava Meiti Elo. But me, Isha Meiti Elo. So what's Slam Gashim? Slam Gashim is, like, for instance, a Bechor that got a mum in it. Or Kachim that got a mum in them and you redeem them. Once you redeem the Shor of Kachim, they become yours to use. But you have, there's limited usage for them. I mean, that you're not allowed to get hanah from them. You're not to shear them, not to milk them. You basically, they're for achilah. If you shech them, says tizbach v'lo achalta, right? You have to shech them to eat them and ensure that there has still some residual kedushat in them. If they die, shor psulik kedushim that died is asur banah. You can't throw it to your klavim. You can't throw it to your dogs afterwards. So what happened here? If a shor psulik kedushim that falls into a boar, it's dead now. You can't say by Meiti Elo because they, what? You can't do anything with the Meiti. Meiti is worthless. Right? They're not getting enough from it. So since you can't say by Meiti Elo, therefore the Mazik is not going to be Chayav in this case because you can't carry out the whole side of the Pazuk by Meiti Elo. There's no Chiyuv when it comes to Psulim Ektashim. But where do we learn that out? We learn that out by Meiti Elo. So how are the Chachamim going to know by Meiti Elo teaches you one and not two? So Imre, right? Of course. We would, it's a memela. I mean, that's not a limud, but make the elo doesn't keep to teach you, right, about who created the mitzah, right? That's something you know automatically. If you say by make the elo, right, that comes to teach you that we're talking about the person who created mitzah here. That's memela. That's a automatic, it's a obvious, right, obvious or an implication clearly from what the pasuk says, that made the elo, that someone created the mitzvah here. Someone created the mitzvah, that's why it's chayav. And then we'll learn from the word hamate elo themselves that teaches you about psulei mitzvashim. So you can actually learn both of them out, even though there's only one pasuk of ve hamate elo. Now, Tana Rabbanan, ech the chofer bor atzara, uba chevi shlumah lechof. Somebody digs a bor 10 fachim deep, and then another guy digs it to 20. And then another guy digs down to 30. They're all chayav. So it means that if once you hit the point of misa, deepening the bore, right, makes you all culpable. You're each one. Since you dug a bore that was deep enough to kill, and then you extend it, then you all become jointly culpable because you've just made it a better misa bore. By making it a better misa bore, then you just add additional chiyuvim, or additional partners to the chiyuv over here.
That's
also said by Zakin also, right?
Oh, doesn't that not only the second one did another 10?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to be 10, yeah. Right, that's true, right. Those says what in the Uralis, you don't have to get all the way another 10 fucking deep, you only have, as soon as he gets 11 steps, as long as he adds the depth to it, it's not necessarily, muskam, or the deos, that it is. Here, the mission is to dig, and maybe he has to dig another misa worth of a bor. He has to dig another 10 fucking, so he increases the misa by a misa's worth of a bor. So that may not be true, but Tosus at least here believes that as soon as you add more, to the, if you go from 10 to 11, that'll be the same thing. You've added 6 steps of bor. It doesn't say the same thing before by Nizakin. If you have a bor that's 8, and you deepen it to 9, you'll be jointly, even according to the Rabbanan, you'll be jointly liable for the nezek. Because both of you just created a bor that was nezek, you just increased the ability of this bor to do nezek by deepening it. Right? Then you'll, again, both be jointly be culpable. It's only when you step over the line. When you move it from Nizakin to Misa, then the Chachamim say Achron Chayat, then the last guy becomes culpable for the whole bor. Reminu, echad ochofer bor atzara, ubacher v'tziad v'kayad acharon chayav. So a guy digs a bor that is 10 deep, and then the next guy comes along and either plasters around the walls, so he narrows the bor, or he draws on the plaster around the bor, but somehow he narrows the space of the bor, the enclosure of the bor, he narrows down. Acharon chayav, the last one's chayav. Lema, ha-rabi, ha-rabonon. So let's say that that's Rabbi, the machlokes here is between Rabbi and Rabbanan. According to the one who says, the right of the word says that everybody is jointly culpable when you take 10, 20, and 30, that'll be according to Rabbi, who says whenever more than one person is involved, each one of them becomes a partner in the damage. But according to Chachamim, we say no, we're going after Acharon. So the next brisa, the last one who came in narrowed the board, made it the Hevel, greater, that'll be who? That'll be the Rabbanon who say Acharon Chayav. So let's explain the two brisa that way. Amrav did have Rabbanon. No, you can explain both brisa according to the Rabbanon. I've got no Kamri Rabbanon Acharon Chayav, Elahechad, Lo Avad Kamo Shir Misa. The only time that we say Acharon Chayav is when the first guy didn't do a Shir Misa. Elahechad, Avad Kamo Shir Misa. If the first guy already dug deep enough to create a bore of Misa, then after the Rabbanon Moda, the Kulan Chayavin. Then even the Rabbanon agree that deepening the bore will make you all jointly liable for the bore, which is what we just explained, right? 10, 20, and 30, you all become jointly liable because the status of the bore, you're not mechadish anything in the bore. Since you were not mechadish anything in the bore, you just made the bore a better killer. By making it a better killer, you now are all jointly liable for that.
Well, inconsistent, I think, is Rabbanon's reason. Because they learn from each.
Right?
They don't want one person to be culpable.
Right.
Because this logic, the same logic should apply then to the
Nineveh. Okay, very good. So Rashi addresses your question. And that was only the Havamina. In the Maskana of the Gemara, remember, that's not where they learned out. They didn't learn it out from each bore and the shore bore. They learned it out from a mate, Yelo. So you're right. According to the Havamina, where it was each, that would be true. But since the conclusion of the Gemara was that they learned it out from a mate, Yelo, right, then it's not about each bore, it's not about single ownership of a bore, it's about the Meiti Yelo. If you cross the line of Mitzah, that changes ownership. Whereas if you don't cross the line of Mitzah, you can be jointly culpable for Nizakin, you can be jointly culpable for Mitzah, it's that line by Meiti Yelo. And Rashi addresses your issue, that was only according to the Havamina, that according to the Maskana of the Gemara, that even the Chachamim can agree to joint liability by a bore. Alright, now, Vazayi Vikaya Dekaava Kama Shur Mitzah. Right now, wait, what about the case over here? Right, but ha, Sayyid Vikaya, the Kavan Kama Shur Misa, Tanya Achron Chayat. Now wait, if you're trying to explain it according to the Rabbanan, the first guy dug all the way down 10 Fachim. Now we have a Misa Bor. And the second guy comes and just narrows the space inside of it. So Imri Atam, so why do you say only Achron Chayat? Even if you say the Chamim agree, even in that case where you both contribute to the Misa, then why is it that you come in here and say Achron Chayat? Imri Atam, Shalaya Bo Hevel the Misa. That the original bore that he dug with, which we'll see in a while, how do you do this? But he dug a bore that was not, even though it was 10 tefachim deep, it did not have enough hevel for Misa. How do you have that? That's when its width is greater than its depth. I'll take that as a given right now. That when its width is greater than its depth, it doesn't have enough hevel for Misa. Then, and this guy, by narrowing the bore, made it a bore that could kill. So therefore, he changed it. He crossed the line. By narrowing the bore, he crossed the line to make it into a Misa bore. That's why in that case only the Achron is chayav, whereas in the first case all three of them will be culpable. Igadami and Ruzvit Havah Rabbi. Both of those brisos go like Rabbi.
Half the Kami. That would only work according to.
It can go according to both, potentially.
I'm saying Rabbi between Rabbi and Shmuel.
Right. It sounds more like Rab, which is about Hevel. Right.
Hevel.
Right. Right. According to Shmuel, already when you tend to fucking deep, there should be a chabata. But Shmuel can explain it, and Rashi addresses your issue, but Shmuel can explain it. It's a board that has cushions at the bottom, exactly. It's a board with cushions at the bottom, and therefore we're only talking about Hevel, the damage of Hevel here. Alright. So now, Hava Rabbi. See, Rashi's thinking like you today. Hold on. Get all your questions. Hava Rabbi. Haftasani Kulan Chayavin Shapir. Alright, that makes sense. Going to Rabbi, if they're jointly liable, we don't have a question about that right now. The case where the boar didn't have enough hevel, whether to kill or to cause damage. So again, he was the only one who created the problem here. Since he's the only one who created the problem, that's what we're dealing with here. Alright, Amarofa. Heiniach even agav apia boar vishlima la atzara. What happens if he puts a stone around the boar and now makes it 10 fachim deep? Yeah, until this point, it was 9 fachim deep. And then instead of digging deeper, he actually elevates the surrounding area, and that makes it 10 fachim deep. That's my machlokes is Rabbi and Rabbanan. That's my machlokes Rabbi and Rabbanan.
We put the fact that so people should be aware of this.
Yeah, the 10 fachim. Now you have the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbanan, which is what, if you make it from the Nizakin to Misa, you become liable, the liable ones are not.
So we have a little discussion here.
Right. Marzad Pshita. Marzad Tema. Maybe I said Pshita. What do you mean? 10 fachim, 10 fachim. No matter, go up, go down. 10 fachim, 10 fachim. No, I would have thought only when you deepen the bor do you bring more hevel. About the mala, when you bring elevate the bor, there you're not adding hevel because you're up into the airspace. That even elevating the bor creates more hevel at the depth or the lower end of the bor. Tam tefach v'sileg amanav mahu. Right, what happens if you have a bor that was right 10 tefachim deep, and then you go right and someone comes along, you have a 10 tefachim deep bor, then you dig down another tefach and you make it into a what? You make it into a 10 tefachim deep, and then the last guy comes back and then fills it up a tefach and puts it back at 9. So it was 9, he dug it down to 10, and now he fills it back up and goes back to 9 like it was before. So you go ahead, mahu. So he went ahead again. He dug deep, filled it in, and then it went, and then he put it back. So what's the story? Do we say that he went from 9 to 10, and then he removed what he added? So he's, now we're back to the original 4.
He's taking himself
out of the picture. Right, exactly. He took away. Whatever he added, he took away, and now we're back to the original 4. Odilon is Salkum Aster Rishon. Once he went to 10 Tefachim, according to Rabbanan, the first guy's out of the picture. And it's all his bor now. Now if it's all his bor, Bekamalei Kulei Rishutei. And now it's all his responsibility, and no matter if he goes back to 9, it's still his 9 bor now. Faithful. The Gemara doesn't know at this case, but they can revert the ownership back to the original digger, or it stays along with the one who deepened it the second time.
According to Rabbi, he knows that he got rid of it.
Right, they're always joint owners. Right, they're always joint owners. So according to Rabbi, it clearly reverts back to the first over here.
So this is just one.
Just coming, right. Amar Rabbi Rechana Mishmol Bar Marta. Bor Shmona, Umeyan Shnei Tfachim Mayim Chayat. If you have a bor that's 8 Tfachim deep, and out of all those 8 Tfachim, 2 of them are water, have water in them. Then you're Chayat, Mayim, time up. Hold Tefach to Mayim, betrayed the Abishadami. Every Tefach of water is like double Hevel. It doubles the amount of Hevel in there. And therefore, you only need 8 fucking deep. Why? So if you take 6 fucking of airspace, plus 2 tefach of water, which is really equal to 4 tefachim, now you have 6 and 4, you end up with 10 tefachim. So you buy a little. Bor tisha, umehen tefach achad mayim mahu. If you have a bor that's 9 fucking deep and has 1 tefach of water, what's the din? Mira came into the fishi mayim leis lohavah. If 1 tefach of water is not enough water to create hevel like the 2 tefachim of water, and therefore you only have 9 tefachim here. Odilma came into amitzvei itzvei havla. Or maybe because it's even deeper, that's enough. That 1 tefach of water there will be enough. So you'll have a 10 tefach deep equivalent of a 10 tefach before. Bor shiv'ah umehen shloshat tefachim mayim mahu. Again, if you have a bor that's 7 tefachim deep, and 3 of those are water, which if you double them with the equivalent of 6, which is even 6 tefachim of the water, and 4 tefachim left of airspace. Right, what's the din? Then there's more water, there's more hevel, and that would work also. Oh, Zilma came into law, amkalei tzvei havla. Maybe because now the bor is only 7 tefachim deep, that water doesn't take on the properties of added hevel. Teku. Yeah, the Gemara is a teku. The Gemara is sure that when it's 8 and 6 is airspace, 2 is water, they're classified like a 10 tefach deep bor. But if you adjust the amount of water, the amount of airspace, there the Gemara is unsure whether you have this principle of every tefach of water is equivalent to 2 tefachim of airspace. By my neighbor,
should be. You should have said in the original case, you should have said 2 tefachim of mayim are equivalent to 4 tefachim of
airspace.
Because less than that, we're not sure, and more than that, we're not sure.
Right. Well, that's mitzvah. The Bryce doesn't. He's not addressing. He's just making a statement. Now we're trying to be mezayis from that. Can we learn anything from it? And the Gemara says we can't. We can't learn anything from it because we don't know. The statement is somewhat ambiguous about other cases. Right. By my neighbor, should be rabba. Herchiva mahu. What happens if he expands the airspace of the bor? The bor is already 10 tefachim deep, and now he expands the airspace. Amalei harei miei tavla. So he says, listen, he reduced the amount of hevel there. By expanding the airspace, he made it less hevel. So amalei adrava, harei kirei mezeka. On the other hand, he expanded the opening of the bor, that means that there's more likelihood of someone falling into this bor. So wait, does it make him more responsible or less responsible here? So amarav ashi, nechseyana, let us see. If he died because of the hevel, hare miyei tavla. If the animal died because of the hevel, then he actually benefited. He helped. The second guy helped, and therefore he should not be responsible. If he died from the impact, hare kira v'zeka. Then he was the one who caused the animal, more likely of the animal falling into the boar. He was the one who created that problem, so he'll be responsible in that case. I'll point out, Tosafot says that he writes harbe hu tema. So this is right about this whole thing. This seems so ludicrous, because even if you say, right, that he reduced the hevel, you still could argue that he was the one who caused the animal to be there in the first place. Meaning that the animal would never have been there because he didn't expand the boar. Even though he reduced the hevel, the animal died from the hevel. Nevertheless, the only reason the animal's in there in the first place is because he expanded it. So why, how can you make a clear demarcation between hevel and expanding the boar? So it doesn't just mention that as a question, but the Gemara doesn't seem like a really solid logic of division, a line of division of responsibility here. You get the Amrei. If he fell from the side that he expanded it on, then he was Makarta. This way, here it makes more sense, right? This logic or division you can see more, because it's clear if he fell on the opposite side of the boar when he didn't expand it, then he only benefited the Balabor by reducing the Hevel. But if he fell from the side that he expanded, then again, we don't know. He caused a greater likelihood of Hezek, even though he reduced the amount of Hevel. So there, this demarcating line makes a little more, I think, the logic is a little more foolproof. Itmar, boar, she'umka k'rochva, a boar whose depth is equal to its width. Rabbi Rav Yosef, this is my focus, Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amrei Karvayu, which made the Rabbi Barchan, and which made the Rabbi Mani, chadamar l'olam yesh b'hevel, adjei rochva yetera umka, that what, that the hevel is there until the width is greater than its depth, then there's hevel there. Right, that the only time there's hevel is when the depth is greater than the width. So obvious case that falls in between them is the case where it's exactly equal. Right? What is the definition? Is the definition that hevel only comes when the depth is greater than the width? Or is the definition that there is no hevel when the width is greater than the depth? And the case that falls in between those two is the case where it's equal. So in that case, we don't know what it would be. Alright, so Avar Lav Harishon, below Kiso. When did the first one all of a sudden become patur over here? You know, at what point does the first one become patur? It's obvious that if he passes by, doesn't cover, the second guy passes by, doesn't cover, they're both culpable over here. Just passing by doesn't make him patur. So what happened here? So Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, Damar Tavayim Mishmei Rabbi Barachana, Damar Mishmei Rabbi Mani. Again, from our same limit over here, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef speaking the name of Rabbi Barachana. Charamar Mishminicho Mishtamesh. If you lead the second guy using the board, the first guy leaves while his partner is still using the boar, he's patur at that point because he couldn't cover it. The other guy was using it. The other guy's using it. He's got to cover it when he leaves. No, that he has to actually hand him the cover. He has to say, listen, here's the cover. I uncovered it, but here you are now responsible for the cover. That's when he gets out of the problem. When I said,
the first guy is the one who uncovered it.
Yeah, the assumption is the first guy came and uncovered it, and now how does he pass responsibility to the second guy?
They both came together and uncovered it together.
Right. Then then they should jointly be liable. How does the first guy remove himself from liability? Right. So if the first guy wants to remove himself from liability, is it only if the second guy is just working with it, that's fine? Or does he have to actually hand them physically the cover? So it's like my folks tonight. My mother might mean a boar of a chaver of armelo henechli. Guy is drawing water out of the boar, and the next guy comes on and says, leave it for me. I want to use it. And I want to draw water. As long as he leaves him drawing water, then the second guy is responsible. Until he hands down the cover. So by my commitment, what's the argument over here between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachmim or the Papa or Rabban Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov Sarei Yesh Breira. Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov, please, there is Breira. Therefore, how did they come, Amale? But how did they come, Amale? Each one of them is drawing from their own portion of the board. Right, if that's the case, then when the first guy comes and draws his water, he took from his feet. Then the second guy comes and he's drawing water, he's drawing from his feet. He's not responsible for the other guy's feet, because he didn't draw from the other guy's feet. He's drawing from his own part of the boar. He didn't do anything with the other guy's part of the boar. If that's the case, each one's responsible for their feet until you hand them the cover and say you are responsible. You have to say to him, take responsibility, right, for, you are my shomer now when you hand him the cover. Rabban Tami ain't Breira. The Chachamim say there is no Breira, and therefore when each of us is drawing from the water, from the boar, then what does that mean? That means that I'm a shoel, because I'm using your property. While I'm drawing water from the boar, not only am I taking from my boar, I'm taking from your boar. In that case, I become jointly liable for everything. And that's why, as soon as I'm using it, I'm automatically liable even for your part. They go according to their reasoning somewhere else. And where's that? It's not in, we have this case in the Doran. I should finish in Nidru Hana Zemizet. Two partners of a chaser that take a neder hanah from each other, asurin lekaneis lechaser. They cannot go into the chaser. Why? Because the Chachamim say, what? Ein breira. There's no breira that I'm always using the other guy's part of the chaser. This guy, each one goes into their own part or their own part of the chaser. But my kibitzligay, right? What are they arguing about? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says yesh breira. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says there is breira, and therefore when I go into my portion of it. Hayda nafshei ayov, hayda nafshei shayov. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov ain't breira, because there's no breira. Whenever I go in, I'm going to our jointly owned piece of property over here, and therefore I'm getting hanah from you, I'm violating the nether, so I can't go into the chazer. You remember, Tosfos raises the issue here, there was a big ran that we had in the Darim, that this Breira is different, because we have other cases of Breira where we don't say this type of the differentiation of Breira. So how do you solve the problem? Tosfos already raises the issue, that there is some problem here between them, says that how do we solve this problem in other places where we say that you don't have rights, or the owners do have rights. How do we solve them? So if you remember, the Ran came up with a big chiddush in the Darim, explaining Breira differently than all the other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim believe that when we're talking about Breira, that means when I walk into the property, that I'm using my portion of the property, and you are using your portion of the property. So if I'm walking through there, each little piece that I'm moving on, that's my portion of the property. The Ran said that we each own the entire, right, we each own the entire chater. We just divide up when we're allowed in there. I mean, that the division is not in the ownership of the property, or the ownership of the usage of the property. I own 100% of the property when I'm in there, and I'm using 100% of what's mine. I just have 50% of the time. And so therefore, by doing that, the Ran solves a lot of the problems of the questions we have from this Breira to other places in Shas, where we see that we do not hold the Breira. Over here, we pass from the Grove of Lezim and Yaakov that Islay Breira. And yet in other places in Shas, we don't say that there is Breira. Right, we don't hold that there's Breira. So why over here do we say Rabbi Yaakov? So we have to differentiate. So all the other Rishonim try to come up with differentiation. That's the Ran's clear differentiation. This Breira is different than other Breira and Shas. Other Breira and Shas, we're talking about joint ownership. Talking about joint ownership, then we each own half. And when we each own half, there's a problem of Breira, and we say no Breira. Over here, we each own a whole chaser. And it's just we've divided up the amount of time that I own the whole chaser and when you own the whole chaser. In that case, even the Chachamim would agree, or even we would paskin that Breira works in that case. As opposed to Breira when you're trying to divide ownership. And there you can't have Breira. Okay, well stop over here.